Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello?
How are you doing?
Hello?
Oh, I'm here. How are you doing, ma'am?
You doing, ma'am?
Is this Angela? Is this Angela? Hello? 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 Oh, boy. Hello?
Hello, this is Angela Butler. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Yes, I'm here. How are you this morning, ma'am?
We have Reverend Jackson on the line. All right.
Thank you. Hello, Reverend Jackson. How are you this morning? Hello?
Reverend Jackson?
Hello?
Reverend Jackson, are you there? Reverend? Sorry, hold on. Let me try to get him back.
Do you want me to hang up when we start over?
No. No, hold on, sir.
Okay. Hi, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Thank you. I'm so sorry about all the confusion, Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Hello, Angela.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
This is Angela.
Can you hear me, Reverend Jesse Jackson?
Yes, this is Angela.
Yes, sir. This is Angela.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Thank you for agreeing to the interview on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Yesterday, our schedule was just overwhelming. You're busy.
Yes.
I want to talk. I thank you for calling me so much, okay?
Yes, sir. And I thank you for calling in. So, Reverend Jesse Jackson, you marched with Dr. King, and you have your own legacy. I mean, you have a great legacy of really doing a lot for black people and also just people in general. I mean, you're a legend, you're a living legend. What I'd like to know is, one of my first questions would be, why did you decide to run for president back in the 80s? Why did you decide to politic for president back in the 1980s?
Running was an evolution of my civil rights work. In 1960, I was standing in at the library with seven classmates. We used the public library, but it's a matter of private dignity and public dignity. And then I began to work with Dr. King in 65 after Selma. And in Chicago, we were fighting here to get Harold Washington elected as mayor, which was an evolution of our development, okay? And in the middle of that campaign, a Democratic primary won the primary. Kennedy and Mondale were coming to support Daley and Jane Byrne over Harold in a primary. And the blacks had been loyal to the both of them. So I said, somebody had to run. I tried to get Maynard Jackson to run. He said he couldn't run because he wanted to do some business for his family. He had been for the church a long time. And Andy Young needed to do it, and so I kept raising the issue. At some point, people said, run, just to run. And to me, it was a kind of protest, demanding that we be respected and have a place at the table, okay?
Yes, sir.
And the issues that we had to raise were not being raised. For example, the issue of voter registration without voter suppression, affordable health care, Free Mandela in South Africa, a two-state solution in the Middle East, affordable education. Issues we were raised were not on the table. So I ran to put them on the table. Remember, that's what happened.
Yes, sir. And here in 2018, there was the killing of 2018. We have someone in office who's trying to take us all back to the 60s or even further, the way I see things. Some people say it's good that he's rallying black.
Those who saw the right to vote never gave up on trying to nullify the vote through various means, gerrymandering, annexation, at-large, roll-purging, denying enough days to vote, old machines. They never gave up on targeting us for voter suppression. That's a big issue now. Of course,
yes, sir,
Trump has a staunch anti-civil rights, anti-social justice president, which is a bit different, but I think we have the infrastructure in place to fight him. So our vote in 2018 has changed the course, has challenged the course of the country. Because we can vote, the Democrats took the House back.
That's wonderful.
Because we can vote, that 55 blacks in the Congress now. Can vote, you're black leading in Georgia and Florida for the first time. And so those are profound changes.
Yes, sir, it is. I'm in Florida. I'm a resident of Florida, and I was born in the state of Florida. And for the first time here in Florida, in almost 153 years, felons have the right to vote, and overwhelmingly black people were put in prison as felons. And
Between blacks and the right to vote and Puerto Ricans, coming from Florida, it's going to affect the demographics of Florida substantially.
Yes, sir, and I'm happy to say that after 153 years, we have the right to vote. Felons do. I've always had the right to vote because I'm not a felon, but a lot of my family could not vote. So this is a happy occasion.
Well, sometimes people feel as though they were wrongfully convicted in the first place.
No, they should not have been, right.
I thought the 13th Amendment said all would have the right of citizenship except prisoners. That became a way to deny a whole lot of people on the 50 years ago the right to vote and citizenship in the first place. So that was a big victory that driven as a byproduct of Gillum's work and father last week.
Yes, sir. So you have a great legacy in civil rights. You did a lot, a whole lot, Reverend Jesse Jackson, including with economics. You had an organization where you were trying to help economics on Wall Street and all those things to help people. It's kind of like, to me, I may be wrong about this, economic referendum where you work with different people. And I thought that was amazing, what you were doing with economics for people in America.
Well, we vote with ballots. We vote with ballots every 2 or 4 or 6 years. We vote with a dollar every day. We must learn to leverage our dollars. We leverage our ballots, okay?
Yes, we need to leverage our dollars like we leverage our ballots. That's true. That's profound, and that's true. Hopefully people who hear this interview will agree with you. Black people spend a lot of money in America, a whole lot of money.
Well, it's a targeted leveraging of the money that makes a difference. Just to make more and spend more does not equal wealth. Wealth is what you have once you get through spending. And if you spend more than you make, no matter how much you make, you're in the working poor. Many athletes make millions and spend millions plus. So there's no accumulation of wealth. What is what's left over after you get through spending? That's why you should always spend more or spend less than you make as a basic economic principle.
Yes, you're saying about economics, the power of economics and the black dollar. I understand that a whole lot. What is your opinion, and how do you feel about the killing of black men and women here in America?
What?
By the police.
Well, obviously it's wrong to assassinate blacks with a gun or with a rope. Killing blacks is... that must be a deterrent to it. The blacks and the other blacks likewise must be challenged and stopped as well. Nobody has the right to kill black people, neither white people nor black people. Nobody has the right to kill us. We seem to be the most vulnerable to other people's frustration or their politics.
Yes, sir. And it's happening. It's never really stopped happening, the killings. There's still lynchings. There's still... murders. They've been doing this ever since black people were forced to come to this country. And now with voter suppression.
Too many guns, too much drugs, and too much racial profiling. Those are factors in the killing.
Too many guns and drugs, okay. What do you suggest be done to help stop all of this? I mean, What advice can you give the people who listen to Show Talk with Angela? What can you tell them to help control the violence, the guns, and the drugs?
Of all the controls, there's no control more powerful than self-control. We have the right and the power not to take drugs. We have the right to not sell drugs. We have the right to not kill each other. There are some rights that come out of self-control. They're not government policy, they're personal policy.
Okay. You have the Rainbow Push Coalition. And you've done a lot of work through the Rainbow Push Coalition. What is your most current thing? I know voter suppression would probably be one, but how do you feel about what happened in Florida and Georgia?
well, you saw evidence of voter suppression. In Florida, you had the case of the candidate was owned the process. He was the referee, the timekeeper, and the scorekeeper. He owned the process. That itself was undemocratic because Stacey, she never had an even playing field. But she ran a magnificent race. Gillum in Florida, likewise, ran a magnificent race.
Yes, he did.
The result of obvious race, the more people of color in the legislature, in Congress, in mayors, and judges. So the coattails were very broad.
Yes, and he was the best qualified candidate, Mr. Gillum was. But at that time, over a million people couldn't vote. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was 1.4 million people could not vote.
Well, that's one of the byproducts of this campaign. 1.4 million more in the books. That means you'll have more jurors, you'll have more justice. I'm going to have to run. Anything else, I'm going to have to run, okay?
All right. Thank you, Reverend Jackson, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, everyone. You just finished listening to Reverend Jesse Jackson. He's been on Show Talk. He's talked some on his organization, the Rainbow Push Coalition, economics and voter suppression. As you all know, Reverend Jesse Jackson is a legacy within his own right, and I'm glad that he took the time to come on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Actually, it's an honor. So everyone, thank you for listening to Show Talk. This interview is pre-recorded, but you will be hearing it soon. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. And once again, everybody in Florida, even though Mr. Gillum did not win, there's always a second time, you know, God willing. So, and I'm so glad that on November the 6th, that Floridians passed the right to vote for felons. As most Floridians know, it's been 153 years. This law started way back when our ancestors, relatives who were enslaved were set free. It was, they made these laws out of fear that black people were going to do to them what they had did to blacks during slavery, which is discriminate, oppress, murder, rape. And so they passed these laws out of fear and retaliation. But the fact that he got as far as he did, Mr. Gillum says a lot about Floridian. Maybe if he or someone else decides to be governor again with these 1.4 million people who can now vote, which unfortunately are overwhelmingly black people, black men and women, unfortunately, he'll get it. Are someone just as qualified as Mr. Gillum, because Mr. Gillum was qualified. In the area that I live in, he was in all the counties that I live in, about 10 or 12 counties, he took them. Mr. Santez took all of the counties, so maybe two out of about 12 or 13 counties. So, but I knew it would, because the area that I live in is overwhelmingly Tea Party, white nationalists. So I didn't expect my one vote to do a whole lot, but I did vote. I do believe in the right to vote, and I'll always vote, because so many people died for the right to vote. You know, some of them are known, some of them are not. So, and so many people went to prison for my right, my one vote. So, anyway, everyone, I think it's progress. Even though over in Georgia, the neighboring state, Ms. Adams did not win because of voter suppression. There's still a chance that Florida can come back with a black governor, a qualified black governor such as Gillum. He was perfect. He would have been perfect for the position, but it didn't work out that way. And in my prayers, some of you may not believe in God, but in my prayers, I pray that one day there will be a black governor in Florida, a qualified black governor such as Mr. Gillum himself. And yes, it was a disappointment, but it's all, God willing, it's the next time. And God willing, they will not do what Governor Scott did during his time as governor. You had to go to him for the right to vote if you had a felony. So I hope it doesn't go back to that. I hope Mr. Sanchez is bluffing when he says he's going to take the law back to that, because that's voter suppression. But I have to say, Florida surprised me. November the 6th, 2018, when it passed for the right for felons to vote. That has been a law for so long, 153 years. And I'm actually kind of proud to say that I cast my vote for felons to have the right to vote. So, everyone, thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Of course, Reverend Jesse Jackson was the who the interview was with, and I'm honored. So thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Those of you who do celebrate Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving and stay blessed.